All righty.
Okay, we're back.
All right. Mm-hmm. Everyone is back?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to go right back to Peter. Peter, the Jews were the ones that walked with Jesus, the 12 that were appointed, the apostles. And the Jews basically despised everybody else. Everybody else is a Gentile or a heathen to them, or and even the Samaritans, which were half Jewish and half a Samaritan mix, they despised them as well. We as Christians have to be mindful that sometimes we end up with a very judgmental attitude to people who do not believe as you believe. If somebody doesn't believe as you believe, that doesn't make them a horrible person. That just means they're not a forgiven person yet.
Yes.
Rather than despising and turning our nose up or acting like we don't want anything to do with someone because they're still in sin, remember that's where God found you.
Amen.
Amen.
Every one of us was found in sin.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that wasn't was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So all of us had to come from someplace.
Amen.
And the way that we come is through the body of Christ doing their job.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And our job isn't to despise people who are in sin. It's to pull them out.
That's right.
Get them the same covering you have. So, but the Jews haven't learned that yet. They're just the people chosen by God, and that's what they're secure in. But the Lord is showing Peter now in the dream. He's on the rooftop, and he's goes into a vision. And in this vision, a sheet comes down, and these four-legged beasts, things that they would never touch, the Lord says, he hears a voice, tells him, he knows it's the Lord. He says, kill and eat. Peter says, no way, I don't touch things that are unclean. That went on three times. Eventually, the vision ended, and the Lord kept telling him, do not call anything that I have created common or unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter is wondering, what are you saying? You're asking me to defile myself? Well, just as the vision ends, up comes some people that are sent by a man named Cornelius. Cornelius, now, well, see how God works. He's working in more than one place. It's not only just about us. He's working in all people's lives that have called upon his name, and even some that haven't. So while Peter is having this vision, the Lord had already met with a man named Cornelius and told him, send for this man named Peter. He's at Simon the Tanner's house. All of that supernatural. Cornelius did not know Peter. And Cornelius, he's a Gentile that the Lord said was a good, righteous man. Isn't that something? But he's not
That's
a
right.
Jew. He supports the Jews, you know, financially and stuff, and he helps them, but he's not a Jew. So Peter, because of this, and then the Lord says, go with the man. Peter immediately went with the man to his house. That was a huge violation of the Jewish law. He had no business stepping in the house of somebody who's not, circumcised?
Mm.
Meanwhile, Peter does what he's supposed to do, and the Holy Spirit fell on everyone that this, by the way, this centurion, I'm not centurion, this Cornelius, had invited his friends and family to come and hear this man, Peter, not even knowing what Peter was saying, was going to say, this is something that kind of astounds me about unbelievers and believers. This man is an unbeliever. He knows this guy, Peter, coming. He has a dream. That's all it takes. He was told to send for this time for Tanner's house. And immediately this man's ministry is born. He did not just, well, let me see what he has to say in a private room. I'll meet him in my office. He invited his family, his friends, come and hear this man. Not sure what he's going to say because the Lord didn't even tell him what he was going to say. And already this guy is evangelizing.
Wow.
Give us a path, and yet not evangelized yet.
Mm-hmm.
You every day, people in your family, people around, you know, friends of years and years and years, and some of them don't even know you call yourself a Christian. And yet this man, Cornelius, has one encounter with an angel that showed up. And he is out there evangelizing until he filled his house in such faith that he doesn't even know what's going to be said, but he filled his house.
Amen.
What an example to us who know who the Lord is. What he can do. We know how he can change your life. Yeah. We know how he can lift you up.
Amen.
You know how he can deliver you from the hand of the evil one. We know this because he's done it for just about everybody on this call.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
And yet we don't open our mouth. Some of us. Some of us can't close it. Ask the Lord for boldness. Those of you who have let too many opportunities pass by, ask the Lord for boldness. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, empower each person on this call with a bold spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus Christ.
So what happens? Peter begins to preach, and the Holy Spirit falls on everyone in that house. Imagine the astonishment of Peter. Okay, for those of you who don't know, or may have forgotten, just when Jesus was resurrected, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were waiting in an upper room, about 120. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God within us that was dispatched after the resurrection. And it caused, and it came with all kinds of gifts. Gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of, name it, gifts of hospitality, gifts of helping, gifts of, these, all these things the Holy Spirit empowered people with to be able to build the church rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit now that seemed exclusive to the Jews who were waiting in the upper room, fallen on, oh, did I say Gentiles? Who's a Gentile? He's not a Jew.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit has fallen on them to Peter's astonishment. And I say that because we're going to, as we go through this book and even further into some of the rest of the New Testament, you're going to find that Peter ends up kind of sliding, having a problem with that. He ends up admonished by Paul because sometimes when you have a certain self-image, realize how racist you are. Huh. Ouch. And that goes for us today.
Mm-hmm.
Times we will say, oh yeah, well, God loved everybody and he made all people, yada, yada, and then 2 minutes later, something racist is coming out of your own mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Some prejudicial comment that says you're lumping all people that look different from you into a category. That's something that's kind of hard to get cried out. Anybody on this call, if you recognize that, when you hear something coming out of your mouth that you wouldn't say in front of everybody, that's an indicator. If something come out of your mouth that you wouldn't say to just everybody, ask the Lord to examine your heart. And if he finds any of that in you, to pry it out.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
A lot of us will be surprised. We start listening to our own mouth. Because what's coming out of the mouth may be coming out of the heart. Okay, so, Alexandra, will you start at chapter 11, please?
Sure. Okay. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners. And it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth." But the voice answered me again from heaven, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now, this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Amen.
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 Amen. Now, I want to say this because a lot of you are coming into that boldness that we're still seeking God for. And sometimes we don't realize that when the Holy Spirit is speaking, it's again, I said this before, I'm going to say again, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. So don't worry so much, as he says, as the Lord warned before he ascended, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, don't worry so much over what you say. For the Lord will give you the Spirit of God, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will give you the words that you need that very hour.
Yes.
So here these people are, I'm going to go kind of, are jamming up Peter. You did what? You went into an uncircumcised person's house and you ate with them? All he can do is tell what he knows. And hope that the brethren don't kick him out. But he spoke the truth. All he could do is say, "Guys, all I can do is do it." And something about truth don't resonate when the Holy Spirit is speaking. And so they were silenced and then just began glorifying God, and got the message. God has also granted to the Gentiles what he has given to us. Don't be afraid when things start changing in your life. Don't be afraid, well, the people I love you that love me are going to reject me. Don't let that be an issue. They may reject you for a season, and they will watch you more closely. And hopefully your living testimony will change their life.
That's right.
Will there be rejection that comes? It can. Peter was in danger of that right then and there. But it wasn't time for him to be rejected because the Lord was bringing him the Gentiles and didn't have time for all that nonsense. So he allowed his Spirit to reveal to these born-again believers that this is of me. But those of you that are in your ministries, or coming into your ministries, there's going to be a lot of rejection. There's going to be people that, you know, hear you. There's going to be people that hate you. Don't let that stop you from standing and walking, and don't ever let it stop you from speaking. Because even if somebody rejects the truth, they knew it was the truth when they heard it.
Amen.
Because something inside of them said, I wish they'd shut up. Stop it. Stop. That's a kind of extreme reaction for something that you don't know is true. Seeds that are followed that are not going to take some kind of root or have some kind of an impact. And I can't say enough times, just because a group or people or your family or those you love closest to you reject you today, that doesn't mean that's the end of the story.
Amen. Amen.
Just walk. Just keep walking.
Amen.
Walk in faith. And let God handle the people that you've witnessed to. You can't do anything with them anyway.
Amen.
I say it and I say again, stop trying to watch grass grow. It's only discouraging. Plant your seed, live the life, and keep going.
Amen. Yes.
That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to carefully plant the seed. That's not what he said. Just do your job. Cast as many seeds as you can, but God determines what falls where. And he has a way of cracking the seed. And the visual of the seed has to be cracked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of times you're ministering to people, they're going to have to be cracked. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to be broken in order for something alive to come forth.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
What does that look like? It can look very discouraging. Hmm. Wow, I witnessed to them and their life just got worse.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. Hmm. Let God do what God has to do, and every one of us has to be back. Every one of us. We're going to move on to verse 15. Sandra? Sandra?
Yes, I'm here. Can you repeat the verse again? You're cutting in and out.
19.
I'm on my way. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch.
Hold on one second there. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen. Remember what happened to Stephen?
He opened himself here and opened up and he fell asleep as he was being shot.
Can everybody hear him?
In and out.
Stephen. In and out.
What happened to Stephen is he was being stoned. He and as heaven opened up, he asked the Lord to forgive them for what they do, and he fell asleep as he was being stoned.
Now remember, just a couple of weeks, if that earlier. Before Stephen was stoned a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how Stephen had just been appointed over the ministry of distribution of the wealth that was coming in. People were bringing their goods and their wealth, and they were distributing it among those so that everybody, nobody in the church did without. And so we see Stephen, next week Stephen is stoned. And we're looking at this and saying, why would God allow that? He was so valuable to the church. But look how much when his death caused the scattering of the believers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why am I saying that? Because remember we talked about how you know, you get in a group of believers, you just want your little personal family, and you don't really want to look outside that family, you don't really care what's happening, the whole world's going to hell in a basket, but we're going to be raptured, and you don't really want to move from that place, especially when you're first called into the faith, you're so excited, and you just can't wait to get to service, can't wait to get to a Bible study.
Right, right.
But by the death of Stephen, which looked like a great loss, came a great multitude of people, Gentiles alike, and Jews. Because these young believers that now have the Holy Spirit within them, who's going to finish the work that I think that he began in them. So even though they have been under the sound of teaching for 20 years, they have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knows enough to help them say what needs to be said and get them out there. But if you refuse to move, well, a lot of times he has ways of helping us. And by the death of Stephen, it caused so much fear and scatter. And now they get as far as Phoenicia. Does anybody remember much about that? Probably not, but I'll just remind you. Phoenicia is where Jezebel was from. Jezebel was Phoenicia. They were known for their dye, and people came from everywhere to get that purple dye. But we remember, I know my big memory of Phoenicia is Jezebel. That's her hometown. Now, remember that is Syria, as we would call it today, the regions around Syria.
So, and didn't Egypt hate the Phoenicians too?
Of course. Of course.
Anyway, my bad. Go ahead.
So, hey, Jeanette, I have a question.
Yes.
So like, here we are in Bible study, and we have the Bible to go to and to read from and to study from. When they were spreading the word, what do you think that, if you can answer this, that they were saying? Just believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Or what do you think a study would look like back then?
Well, the study would include proving that Jesus was the Messiah from the other written text, which you know as the Old Testament. All the prophecies concerning the Messiah coming, they're all scattered throughout the Old Testament, starting with Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's even a prophetic word in Genesis that there was going to come someone who was going to crush the head of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to come from a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they have understanding that, oh, this was the Messiah, they're going to talk about what happened 3 years. He was healing people and raised people from the dead. And there's, as Luke said, so many accounts that there wouldn't be a book that could hold it. And some of these people were eyewitnesses to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also found, well, this is what Isaiah the prophet was talking about when he talked about that he would carry our transgressions, he would be bruised for our iniquities. Where's all this coming from? The Old Testament. That was still written word.
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I would say that it would also cause the things that they heard, the teachings in their synagogues, because the Holy Spirit felt it probably brought all those words to their remembrance and opened their understanding.
Absolutely, because they've been taught the law for generations and generations.
Yeah, yeah.
They've learned the word, just the word without the reality of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now this Holy Spirit has come, which Jesus spoke about. Again, some of them may have even heard it, were eyewitnesses that heard it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And carrying with them as the New Testament was being formed. Okay. I just wanted to bring up Phoenicia. Interesting that it's mentioned here because the Jews would consider that a very wicked place to go, but let me tell you why they're there.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Same reason we're here.
Same reason we're right here. And let me tell you one of the commonalities everything goes. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot friendlier place for a Christian, believe it or not, than the righteous Jerusalem. Religious leaders killing people in Jerusalem, but in this wicked place of Phoenicia, hey, believe what you want to believe. Do what you want to do. Everything goes here. So they were safer in these wicked, so-called wicked places, and not so safe in Jerusalem. Which drove them to the very darkness that they needed to penetrate with light.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing thing. Okay.
Continue.
Yes.
Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus, Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of
them. You see what happened? Even though Peter came back with the word that word is for everybody, that it will even be poured out on Gentiles, then the new believers are not talking to anybody but Jews. But God stands away. I'm going to say this because don't ever hang your hat that you are so intricate. If you don't do what God is telling you to do, God's work won't be done.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God found a way. He found a way. Some of them, men from Cyprus and from Cyrene, these are different. Cyrene was up in northern Africa. And there was a lot of Africans who were Judas that had embraced Judaism and are now converted. By the way, Cyrene is where Simon, who helped carry the cross where Jesus was from.
Mm-hmm.
And later, as we go on, we'll find out that way down later in the church, he had two sons, a John and a Mark, and they became pillars of the church in Cyrene. But because these are converts to Judaism, maybe they don't have so much zealous prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a little more likely to talk to Hellenists and start preaching to other people besides only. If you believe what you're preaching, there's a hell and a God that can put you in. If you believe that, you withhold that from anyone.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
How could you not care if people are going to hell?
That's right.
Okay. So the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to God, even with the Jewish believers only preaching to Jews. So they have his way, and his way is being done.
Who are the Hellenists?
We talked about them last week. The Hellenists is another sect of, see, the Jewish faith, even in Judaism, had different sects of believers. The Pharisees are Jew, and so is the Sadducees, and so is the Hellenists, and so is the Materians Jews. They consider themselves practicers of Judaism, but when you get all the way down to the Materians, they did everything under the sun. And anything else you can drum up, they were doing it. Just like churches that you can find today that just about any, they'll say, well, I'm going to get a culture with them. Or the culture is satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was going on then. There's nothing new under the sun. A lot of what we experience today seems so jaw-dropping and, oh my gosh, I can't believe. This is with the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't TV. You didn't know about evil being done behind closed doors. Because if you were in that town, you word to travel. But evil was still prevalent, and it was in churches there too. You can tell that by the religious rulers that were going to kill Jesus.
Yes. Continue.
Yes, please.
Verse 22. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged that all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Continue.
So what is happening here? We're having the growth of the church, and Barnabas is, remember, they had to pick someone
right.
to take care of, to take the place of Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And by lot, Barnabas was chosen. And Barnabas seems to be a great pick because it seems to be exactly what the church needed. Mm-hmm. It's Barnabas last week that stood up and defended someone else when they needed or could use defending. And it had to do with Gentiles too. Barnabas sees that a lot of the growth that's happening here is, and a lot of they are coming in, but the Jews are only preaching, really the Jews. And Barnabas sends for Paul. Why do you think he sends for Paul? Anybody?
Paul was a big back. He was one of the. The one that had more authority, he probably had more authority than all because of how he was with the Jews to begin with, and now he's converted, and he's now a Christian, so he was solid.
So Paul had the note.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the Jews, and the Jews knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And say it again, he knew the Jews, and the Jews knew him. Paul carries
Mm-hmm.
So this is the guy we need to bring in. There's a great church mounding up in Antioch, and Antioch is where they first saw Christian. We're reluctant to even call ourselves a Christian. And all the different birds that nested in the mustard tree.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of stick with Christ follower. Of course, I believe Christ is the Messiah. It comes to the Christ follower because a lot of what's been attached to the word Christian has changed. Okay, verse 27.
And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Calidus Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Continue.
No, we're going to stop there, because we had somebody ordained a prophet last week. And we all asked, what did the prophet do? That's prophet do.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And a warning. A warning that's in the scripture. He sends out a current warning. The leadership consisted of apostles, pastors, evangelists, and this was special gifting of leadership given to some. And everybody got the gift of salvation. Everybody was supposed to minister. Everybody should be ministering. But in any type of organization, and the Lord set that out, made it very clear. So this prophet came all the way from wherever they came from. And that's prophets in that day, by the way. Very few are mentioned, but there were plenty of prophets. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, prophets were as common as prophet school to become a prophet. Interesting. But now we're talking about the Holy Spirit falling on people. This is the real. So what? Tell them there's going to be a famine. And what do? When we get a warning from God, we're not supposed to just sit on our hands. There's been a lot of warnings coming from God's people that the Lord, the time is short. Something's going to happen. Something's coming. What should that propel you to do? Should it propel you to learn talking about the doom? It should cause you to become a little bit more fervent, not only in your prayer, but in your witnessing.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Our time is short. Those of us know that. Many people are, that have studied the word, and some of our prophets have seen writing on the wall. The time is short. Planet Earth is wrapping up. You can go around you. Change to you name it. It's all around you. To the perverseness that is taking over. I'm going to say this just with this sermon, but you know, I'm taking a little bit of sidebar. I was walking yesterday and was talking about they're trying to, if a child wants to change their sexuality, a child, and the discourage of it, the parent will be charged with a felony if in any way that parent tries to discourage their child from whatever. And this another one coming on the books is they're trying to make it not a crime to have sex with anybody. Some 60-year-old pervert that wants to rape a 12-year-old, he won't be charged. It'll be illegal. This is the kind of world, this is how fast pedophilia and everything else is just gaining momentum, because it would be that men's thoughts were wicked both day and night. Mm-hmm. That's what we're heading into, people of God.
Mm-hmm.
So do we talk about that for 20 minutes? No, we do not. We want to just know this should urge you, urge you to get your loved ones covered.
Yes,
it
amen.
It doesn't matter whether we live or we die. What matters is do you have fire insurance?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Get people fire insurance. If you can't do any more than that, get them fire insurance.
As well as reaching our children as early as we can. We were at a youth conference kind of festival in Long Beach yesterday, and they had two different booths that were encouraging, you know, transgender and different things, and little activities and little kids.
They were
reaching and talking to little children. And we passed by this booth, but my daughter and I were both like, I can't, you know, wow. Wow.
It's here.
It's now illegal in Florida, but yeah, you're right. It's crazy.
This is what we're looking at. So your eyes should be wide open, wide open, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. No, you don't go around if you say abortion's your issue and you want to blow up clinics. That's not what God's called any of us to do. But what we can do is pray and equip all that we can while we're here. Right. Let God crack the seeds. Go ahead and get them scattered. Let God deal with the seeds.
That's right.
Make sense?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't get overwhelmed with the negative, but be aware of it so that you can do what you can do. Get your children sealed.
Yes.
At an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself positioned. They are.
Mm-hmm.
They positioned themselves in schools. They positioned themselves and did I say intentionally?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They have intentionally positioned themselves in schools,
right.
Churches, organizations.
Right.
They seem to know how to get it done.
Right. Amen.
Absolutely.
And what are we doing?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping.
As Richard said, sound asleep.
Right.
And watching the disaster all around us, some of us glued to the TV till we're so depressed, we're immobilized, we're paralyzed with our own depression.
Right.
Yes.
Because we ate it with a shovel.
Hmm.
We shoveled in all that he's doing, and then we were paralyzed.
Right.
Yep.
No, we need to focus on what God can do and will do, and through you, he'll do it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yes.
Any other questions?
No.
Any comments? We're going to close. Any comments?
Good word today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good work.
The war is on. I just have to say, among our adolescents and youth, it's game on. Satan is bold right now. I'm witnessing extreme boldly.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to
get God place me, in the position in a ministry where I'm the only one, and I've got a lot of work to do.
And I think we have to. Be careful and have you perfectly praying about the fact that they don't want us there. They don't want
us there. Amen, sister.
So we have to pray for God's wisdom and his discernment and how to get in there.
Yes.
How
yes.
people, and not just give up and say, I can't. I was in the system for a long time. I can't talk, about any of that.
Yes.
So we don't.
Amen.
So it's important that just like the enemy infiltrates our churches, we can infiltrate those
things.
Exactly.
What I'd like
every
Jeanette said, pray for boldness. Pray for boldness.
Amen.
Pray for boldness. Because sometimes it looks like the enemy is winning, but he's not. We are victorious. We win. And we must be bold. Yes.
He makes it look like he's winning. He already knows he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
What a liar, liar. It's pants are on fire.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to close in prayer. We're going to, Cheryl, would you close us in prayer today?
Yes. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for this gathering, all the people that are on the call. Bless them. All the people that wanted to be on the call but couldn't make it. Please find a way to give them a word today. Thank you for the new people that have joined us and for the visitors that are here.
Yes.
We thank you for Jeanette. Her teaching is pretty powerful, pretty deep, and I really appreciate it. And we all do. But, Father, here we go down from this holy place into our wrecked worlds. Give us the strength to be vigilant. Give us the fortitude to fight through the negativity that will come at us.
Yes, Lord.
I'm myself. I always need you to give me the strength to talk to these guys when I'm at work. I'm always hesitant, but I'm feeling more empowered as the days go on.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
So bless you, Lord. And we thank you for being a part of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. God bless everyone. Have a beautiful day.
God bless you.
Yeah, watching grass grow over the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Jeanette, I have a question.
Yes.
So remember when we were at your place and you were saying if we were had any type of connection to the Jews that we shouldn't be too proud of it. Are you familiar with the Ashkenazi?
No.
I think they came from a man by the name of Ashkenaz, who is the, I think, the grandson of Moses. I think it's what it is. I looked it up. I can't remember now. But I have, when I did my DNA test with 23andMe, I've got a blood connection to that sect. They were the Jews that ended up going to Europe, and the Jews in Jerusalem didn't really like them because they didn't speak Hebrew, but they spoke Yiddish. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting that I actually have that kind of connection to them.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that you have a connection to priesthood. Surprise!
How
beautiful.
All right, well, you guys have a wonderful week, and I'll look forward to seeing everybody on Wednesday.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, God bless.